Hallelujah, for those that want to be here but could not be here tonight, Lord. We pray for them right now, oh God. We ask that you would strengthen everyone, Lord. Those that are here and those that are not on the call tonight. Lord, we ask, oh God, for your miraculous, supernatural intervention in their lives. Bless the families, oh God, represented in the name of Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, for household salvation. We thank you, Lord, for family salvation. We praise and we magnify your name for signs, wonders, miracles, and blessings
being
added to our lives and to the lives of the family members in Jesus. And we praise your name and we glorify your name. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for the harvest on the seed sown tonight. We thank you, Lord, for 30, 60, 100-fold, even 1,000-fold increase in blessing.
Thank you, Jesus.
And Father God, hallelujah, we thank you for spiritual authority to tread on serpents and scorpions. Take the Lord, rebuke you and your satanic cohorts. We curse you from the root and command you to be bound in Jesus' name.
Yes.
Father God, hallelujah, glory to God. Hallelujah, we praise your name. Again, we glorify your name. For you get the honor, you get the praise, you get the glory. We bless your name in Jesus' name. And everyone said,
amen.
Amen.
Amen. At this time, Pastor Peaches, if you would read the roll call on this evening.
Hallelujah. Good evening, everybody. Say something when I call your name. Anthony Harris.
Present.
Annette James. Kibi Stevenson.
Kibi's in the house.
And Tiffany Warren.
Here.
Hallelujah. Thank you so much. Hallelujah. Praise God. We prayed for Deacon AJ already, and we continue to keep her up in prayer. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Today's class Spiritual Maturity and a History of this Bible. So the books that you're going to need are Growing Towards Spiritual Maturity, which is the first class, and then a Pictorial History of our English Bible, which is the second class. And I just want to remind all of you that this is the sixth. Is this the seventh week of class. After this, we have two classes.
And hallelujah.
This will be over. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Praise God. And guess what?
What?
Last class, last week we had a pop quiz.
Yes, sir.
Well, we're going to change. Today we have a mom quiz. We had a pop
quiz
last week. We got a mom
and pop
quiz.
Mom and pop. I'm slow, but I'm sure. Okay, I got you. Mom and pop.
Sometimes some things I say, you get it the next day, maybe about 10, 11 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, my goodness.
Y'all have
praise the Lord.
Brother Bird, he's a traveler. He came from another place, the heart of God. But God worked through his
ministry. Praise the Lord.
Man, the way he formed it from the beginning. The question, I'm going to ask all of y'all the same question. This is going to be an easy question. Hallelujah. What are some of the hindrances to you growing spiritually that you face personally in your lives? starting out with, we're going alphabetically this time, because I think last week we started at the back end, so we can start at the front end. And Deacon AJ's not here, so Sister Angie, one of some of the the question is, what are some of the hindrances that you face in growing spiritually, growing, maturing in the spirit?
I forgot, Pastor Bird.
No, you just no. This is something that this is from your perspective. See, this is an easy question because you're all going to get it right. Because
okay.
You're talking about your experience. What are some of the things that stop you from or slow you up from growing spiritually?
In your opinion.
Your opinion.
I'll say anger.
Uh-huh.
Or depression. Anger and depression.
Uh-huh. Now, those things are not yours. They just come and attack you. Is that right?
Right, yes.
They get in your way. Okay. Guess what? You just got an A on your mom quiz. Elder QB?
Yay.
What?
Yes, Pastor. Yes, Pastor.
Yeah, the same question.
Could you repeat the question, please?
No. I'm sorry. I spoke out loud. Did y'all hear me say that? What are some of the things that hinder you or that try to derail you from growing spiritually? In your opinion.
In my opinion, I think what holds me back sometimes is doubting that I'm qualified to step forward boldly. Because I realize the importance of what I say, and I just want to be extra correct. Sometimes I put a lot of pressure on myself, but I'm learning to relax in knowing that I know, and that when I open my mouth, God will speak for me because my heart is right, because my concern is always for my words to win a soul.
Amen. Guess what? You just got an A. And see,
praise the Lord.
The important thing is that you say what God says, but you have confidence in his word. And when the devil tries to give you doubt, you mix the devil up. You tell the devil, devil, I doubt your doubt. And he's sitting there, what do you mean you doubt my doubt? He's trying to figure out, what does that mean? And he's sitting in the corner with his thumb in his mouth trying to figure out, what does that mean? And then he goes away and he tries to figure that one out. But see, when you say what God says, you don't have to doubt that because God said it. Stand on his word. It's going to be all right. God bless you. Guess what, Elder TV? You got an A in your mind. Sister Tiffany, the same question.
Can you repeat the question, please?
No. I mean, can I say that out loud?
Yes.
What? Help me today, Lord. The question is, what are some of the things that are kind of like roadblocks or hindrances that kind of slow you down from growing spiritually, maturing in the faith, you know, stepping into the role and having the confidence that God wants you to have in his word. You know, what kind of stands in the way of you growing spiritually? That's personal. I'm talking about you, not talking about your brother, your sister, the dog or the cat or the cow or the horse. Talk about you.
Being connected, I guess, to the familiar. Like, someone that childhood friend.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it could be years and years, but the connection is it would be like we were, you know, we never missed a beat. We could be living two different lives.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
So that really, really, what you call this, because I would for a familiar face or that person, I would, you know, kind of maybe let my guard down.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, just a little.
I understand.
But I think, you know, I struggle with that because where I'm going, but that's why I ask God to guide me and lead me, because where I'm going, everybody can't go, and I understand that.
Mm-hmm.
I understand that. So because I understand that, that is a weakness, but I'm getting through that because everybody can't go where I'm going, and I have to just understand that God is going to remove individuals because of my heart.
Mm-hmm.
Or I'm not going to have to do anything, but continue to go forward straight.
Mm-hmm.
Just go straight. Mm-hmm. Don't mm-hmm. get off track. Don't let nothing distract you. Just keep mm-hmm. going straight.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen.
That's a good answer. And you were in the last semester, mm-hmm. but all the answers that have been given, even your answer, that was part mm-hmm. of the answer to that question. And during the last semester, it's relationships that kind of mm-hmm. Stop us from going towards spiritual maturity. See, mm-hmm. we must need understand that everyone in our lives is there for a season.
That's right. Amen.
Everyone is there for a season. Because
yeah.
one thing I don't think I've heard anybody say it as well as you said it, as succinctly as you said it,
mm-hmm.
That everybody mm-hmm. can't go where you're going. You would love for them
yep.
to go where you're going because you
right.
you towards Christ. But everybody don't want to go where you want to go. And so if you want to stay on track and visualize a train track and you want to stay on the train. You want the train to stay on the track. Is that right?
That's
that gospel
right.
train, you want that to stay on the track. You don't want to get off track, because if you get off track, that's called a derailment.
Amen.
So okay. we thank God for that. So guess what? Y'all are some fantastic students, because you all got A's today.
Yay!
Praise the Lord.
Last week for your pop quiz. And you got A's today for
A's
your
today.
Mom quiz.
Your mom quiz. Amen.
I don't
Amen.
Know why this week, but anyway, we're thinking something. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We're going back. I think we finished up in the glory to God. Wait a minute. I think, did I have another question? Oh, man. Did I have another question I wanted to ask you? Hallelujah, glory to God. I did, but I think the Spirit said that's enough. So we're going into chapter 5. Is that all right? I think we finished with chapter 4. Hallelujah. Pastor Peaches, are you there?
Yes, sir.
All right, praise the Lord. Jesus
is Lord.
I started it first. Hallelujah. Can you start us out in chapter 5, if you would?
By developing intimacy with God. It would be hard to imagine having a healthy marriage relationship without the husband and wife talking to one another on a regular basis. Yet it is even more impossible to comprehend how people could claim to know God without talking to him regularly. The key to intimacy with God is through a disciplined, regular pattern of communication with him through prayer. end of paragraph. There's another three-line paragraph, Pastor. Let me read that.
Okay, just stop there. If you have a highlighter, y'all need to highlight that right there, that last part of that.
Amen. Amen.
Disciplined. And I think most of you do that because you are in the morning worship. That takes discipline.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes you don't feel like getting up. You don't even feel like picking up the phone, the dial, the Lord have mercy. Now, some of us don't even feel like getting out of bed and coming over to the office. I'm not going to mention my name. Jesus. Did I say that out loud? Oh, man.
Yes.
Amen.
Anyway, but we do it because it's discipline. We discipline ourselves. And one thing, I can't ask you to do something that I don't do myself. We've been doing this not a few months.
Mm-hmm.
Every day for a few months.
Yes, sir.
We've been doing this every day for a few years. Do you understand that?
Wow.
Now, I'm going to tell you something. We did that through COVID, through our colds, and through all kinds of stuff going on.
Amen.
Through pain.
Mm-hmm.
The devil is a liar. We went through, but we did it anyhow.
Yes, thank you, Jesus. Weekends and Sundays. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Y'all don't understand how hard this thing has been. We did it, even though later on we had to go to funerals of my mother-in-law and my daughter. Come on now.
Yes.
Can you understand what I'm trying to tell you?
Yes.
That's why Romans 12:1 says, I beseech you, brothers, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service.
Amen.
Amen.
It's what God expects.
Amen.
Y'all don't understand this, because some things, Ray, maybe you do. Some things is easy for a lot of people to do. When I go to service on Sunday, only Sunday service I don't miss a Sunday. Just any month that has a fifth Sunday, we don't have service. Thank you, Jesus. There's two flights of steps I go down. Do you understand that?
Yes.
And going down is one thing. Hallelujah. Going up is another story, Jesus.
Yeah.
Two flights.
I can imagine.
It takes discipline, y'all. Pastor Peter, you go and read the other one, next paragraph. Any questions or comments on that paragraph?
No. I do, Pastor Barrett. I have a question.
Yes.
About the healthy relationships in marriage. I've never been married, but I have been in relationships that didn't really work out. But hopefully, by the grace of God, hopefully he can send me somebody someday soon. Not soon,
amen,
but someday.
Amen. And that's the key. When you have your discipline and you get close to God, you take care of God's business, he's going to take care of your business, bottom line.
Yes.
And I'm just to share that this is a nugget I'm going to throw in here since you mentioned it. When you're married, you're going to have a day for yourself during the week. You got 7 days in a week, is that right? A day for yourself. Your date night. Just with you and your spouse. And if you have children, you know, then you get a babysitter for the children.
Yeah.
You don't take your children on a date night with your spouse.
No,
you get a babysitter.
No.
That's what that babysitter's for. Somebody sitting with your baby. Now you say, well, I don't have a spouse. Well, you act like you have a spouse. Because Jesus says, I am Jehovah Ishi, the Lord, your husband. So you go out on a date with Jesus. You go bowling. Mm-hmm. I used to go bowling by myself. I went to the movies by myself. I went out to dinner by myself until God showed me the wonderful woman I'm married to now. Do you understand what I'm saying?
That's right. Yep. Amen.
You get in a habit, a disciplined week, a day for yourself. That's you minister to yourself. A day you minister to your spouse. If you don't have a spouse, you minister to God and yourself like you're going out on a date and go out on a date. If you just go down to the harbor and look at the water or go somewhere and look at the ducks or look at the birds, whatever. If you don't have, you understand what I'm saying? And then you have a family day. And so for you minister to the family. Mm-hmm. So that's 3 days a week. And then you usually have at least 2 days where you do a Sunday service and maybe a Wednesday service, and then you have perhaps a Bible study. So that's 3 days. So you got 3 days, minister self, spouse, and the whole family, and then you Sunday, and then Bible study and midweek service. You got a seventh day that is what I call wild card.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever. It's a whatever thing. So you hooked that up. Before we got married, my wife and I had date night. And folks down in North Carolina knew, you know, it was our date night because they would call and they'd say, oh, yeah, this is a date night. Because a date night, we don't answer the phone.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you text us 911 and then call, we ain't answering the phone. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It's date night. It's us.
That's right. That's right.
But anyway, see, we went there because Angie, you have the habit of giving us food for thought. And we just thank you for your. See, that's why it's good for folk to get together. Because the anointing brings prophecy and understanding and revelation from God. But anyway, back to the peaches, Lord.
This purpose of this chapter is to help followers of Jesus to understand and apply transformational principles of prayer to draw closer to the Father, who alone holds the resources to make our lives a blessing within this world.
Amen.
End of paragraph.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
I'd like to say something about the developing intimacy with God is comparing it with a marriage and a marriage relationship, and the way that you would spend time with a mate or someone you want to get to know more better. That's the same way you have to spend time with the Father. And not just always you chatting and all going off at the mouth, but just sometimes sitting and listening to the Father, spending time with the Father, getting to know him. He already knows you, but you getting to know him. And the more time you spend with him and the more time you make with him, and just like when you are interested in a person, you want to spend time. You make time for that person, no matter how busy your schedule is. You have to, in our lives, and I have to speak from a woman's perspective, so many hats we have to wear in the course of the day.
Yeah.
But even so, you have to make time for the Lord. Have to come away from everything and make time for the Father the same way you would make time for that man that you want to spend time with and that man that you want to know more about and you want him to know more about you. That's how y'all learn each other, by spending time with each other. And that's how you learn the Father. You learn the Father. spending time with him. And during that time of spending time with the Father, that's a time of refreshing.
Right.
Is, that's a time of you sitting down, getting quiet before him, him refreshing, renewing your spirit, and then you're able to even serve him even the more because you've been refreshed. And I believe that is how you, that's one of the, that's one thing how to develop that intimacy with the Lord, spending quiet time before the Lord and spending time in his word and just sometimes just listening to what he's saying and what he wants to speak to your heart about.
Amen. Amen. You know, the
Amen.
More intimate you are with someone, the more you're able to hear their voice. You know, you could be in a room with a whole lot of people. You could be talking. But if you hear your spouse call your name, a lot of people talking, but you hear yourself, you know that voice. And you say, excuse me for just a second. You hear the voice of your spouse. And that's the same thing.
Right.
You hear God's voice better. You know, number one, you know his voice better when you spend time with him. God is just developing with me. I know some of you say, well, it took 77 years. Yes, for some folks, it takes a little longer. For me to hear, because I've heard God say, hey, Earl, now I've told you to do thus and so. Now you do it this way. Just like that. He called me by my name.
Okay.
You understand what I'm saying? The closer you get there, the more intimate, he will call you by your name.
Yes,
he will.
He will.
He won't call you by
your
title. He say, QB, now you know what I said.
That's right. He didn't call me knucklehead, though.
You know what I said to you on Thursday. Now, are you going to do the opposite? Yeah. When I told you this, and he will sound just like that. He won't be a roar of thunder. It'll be a small.
No, it's so true.
It'll be a still small voice.
I said, who said that? I'm going to say one thing.
Y'all just don't know. One day I was driving down the street, going towards the Alameda, going down the hill towards the Alameda, and it's where it was like four or five different, no, it's about five different ways cars could come. But we had the green light, and it was cars in front of me, and he went to the green light, but a voice told me, slow down.
Uh-huh.
But I got the green light. Some of us, we argue with the Lord. No, I got the green light. What do you mean? I got to slow down. No, I heard the word right. Slow down. You know what I did? I slowed down. Slowed down. A car that was on the Alameda who had the red light came to the, did not even brake, did not even slow down, went right through the red light. Had I kept my speed, they would have hit me broadside.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
It is imperative that you get close to God, be intimate with God so you can know his voice, so you won't get yourself in trouble. Sometimes our mouth writes a check that our body can't cash. Because, we do things in reflex action. We need to slow down and listen for the voice, the sweet voice.
So true.
Hallelujah.
Can I say something very quickly, Pastor?
Yes.
The flip side of that in a marriage, when you don't do those things, you don't take time to talk and to spend time together to know each other. You grow apart.
Yes.
And that's a disastrous place to be in.
Yes, right.
Because you didn't take the time to be intimate.
Amen. Amen. And, you know, when you are in a relationship, you know, or your spouse, the closer both of you get to God, the closer you get together. It's like it's a triangle.
Amen.
God is at the top point, and y'all are at the points on either side. Y'all may be far apart, but as you get closer to God, automatically you get
stronger
to each other. And that's important for folks to understand. that you have God. It's not two people in a marriage relationship. It's three. You, your spouse, and God. But anyway, hallelujah, glory to God. Let's see. Sister Andy, can you read the next paragraph?
Yes, Claire. Biblical pattern of prayer. While godly people in Scripture approach God in prayer and various ways, the one common characteristic of each was that they put a communicating deeply with the Lord in prayer. Daniel made it his practice to pray three times a day. David prayed through psalms and music. Jesus, even though he was fully God, made communication with his Father an absolute priority. His pattern was often to rise early in the morning before dawn to talk to the Father. Mark 1st chapter, verse 35. Before all major decisions, he spent lengthy times in solitude and prayer. Paul continues this priority in both his practice and teaching. He is an example to all of us in his practice of continuously lifting up his needs and the needs of others to God in prayer. His letters include some of the richest prayers in Scripture. The biblical record indicates
in the paragraph.
In the paragraph.
Okay, all in right. The paragraph.
Yes, thank you very much. It's important to understand that even our morning worship should not take the place of our solitude, our praying to God, mano y mano. Do you know what mano y mano, one-on-one? Hallelujah. You know, it does help us, though. Pray to God when others pray with us in the morning. But we have time where we pray to God. And I know Daniel prayed three times a day. A lot of folks pray three times a day. Some pray five times a day. But I do it like the Bible does talk about always pray. You know, pray always. You know, and so I make every effort to stay in a state of prayer, a prayerfulness all day long.
Mm-hmm.
So you hear me praying you know, anywhere, you know, because that's how you ought to be. You ought to be close, as intimate with the Father God as you would be with your spouse. Not just, you know, you may have a time where you talk to your spouse, maybe at dinner time or breakfast, over breakfast, dinner, or lunch, or you may call, but there are other times where spontaneously you would say a few words to God and you want to hear what he has to say back to you. Because a lot of times folks will say, Lord, how you doing? Good morning. Thank you so much. I want this, I want that, I want the other. Thank you so much. Goodbye. That's not what you call an intimate relationship. I don't know what you call that, but that's not a two-way street. That sounds like a one-way street. That sounds like gimme, my name is Jimmy. Or gimme, my name is Kimmy. I think, oh my goodness. Lord have mercy. Jesus.
Praise the Lord, Pastor. But I hear what you're saying, Pastor, but also your mind is in a state of prayer. You're thinking about the Lord all the time. Your mind is always thinking whether you're verbalizing or not. So it gives you a certain atmosphere that you're in that is precious and it's intimate.
That's so true. Any other comments or questions? We're going to stop here because the alarm went off, Jesus. But anyway, we didn't get to you, Tiffany. Lord have mercy. Did we get to you, Albert Tiffany? Did you read?
Not for reading, sir.
Oh, my goodness.
Chapter 5, second chapter.
Yeah, but anyway, respect. Okay. Any questions or comments about, because this is important. You know,
it is.
So intimate that you know his voice. You can hear
him.
My wife tells me often that when she's driving and stuff like that, she hears me saying certain things, you know. She said, I hear you saying blah, 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 because I've said it. And so we need to be so intimate with God that we hear his voice. Everyday life in the midst of facing challenges in our day, in our week, and at the very moment, we need to be that intimate with him. Any questions or comments before we close out this class? Lord have mercy.
Praise the Lord.
All right. Well, praise the Lord. Father God, we thank you for growing towards spiritual maturity. We thank you, Lord, for we realize, hallelujah, that we need not compare ourselves with anybody else, just ourselves. And we want to grow a little bit more every day. We want to learn a little bit more every day. We want to be intimate with you every day, Lord. We want to understand your word. We want to understand and hear your voice every day. So we thank you, Lord, for the class on today. We ask that you bless the students that were here and those that one that could not make it today. We thank you, Lord, for blessing all of us and the families that are represented, oh God. We praise your name. We glorify your name. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. You get the honor. You get the praise. You get the glory in Jesus' name.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Now, you can you got to tell 10 of, what's that, 7:50 before the next class, which is the history of the English Bible. So take your break. Get that. Eat another bite of that a submarine sandwich. Drink that tea or the lemonade. Or Captain Morgan. No, not Captain Morgan. Did I say that out loud?
Yes.
excuse my dust. Okay. But anyway, God bless y'all.
Thank you, Lord.
Next class is spiritual maturity is next week, the 8th week. Oh my goodness, we're gonna have we had a pop quiz, we had a mom quiz, we're gonna have a test on next week, so it'll be more than one question next week.
All right.
Glory to God. My. Where does the time go? We don't know. But anyway,
y'all
go ahead and take your little break.
The time go by fast.
I know.
Time is not on nobody. No one.
Nope.
Amen. But we thank God for all of you. Hallelujah.
Who's the test on next week, Pastor?
I beg your pardon?
Who's the test on next week?
Ask the Lord.
Yes, sir. Is that in the syllabus?
It may be. I would not. When you come to class, you need to have your syllabus, all the books that you got, and everything You need to have. I do suggest you have the Strong's Concordance near you too.
Yes, sir.
All right, Lord Jesus. Y'all know what the Strong's Concordance is. That's that big book. That's heavy.
Yeah.
That's
heavy
book.
Mm-hmm.
All right, bless y'all. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Power on.
Hallelujah.
Bluetooth pairing.
Hallelujah.
Bluetooth connected.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's go, boy, baby.
Jesus, holy and anointed one,
Thank you.
in prayer. Hallelujah.
Thank
Father
you.
God, we thank you for all the students that are in this class. Hallelujah. History of the English Bible. We ask that you bless, anoint, do your thing in their lives. Let signs, wonders, miracles, and blessings follow them as they go forth. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Pastor Peter, if you would do the roll for this class.
Yeah. Did Anna James join us? Is Angel and Harris still with us?
Yes, present.
Phoebe Stevenson?
Phoebe's in the house.
And Miss Tiffany Warren?
I'm here.
Hallelujah. God bless you all. Thank you, Pastor Peaches. And before we go any further, we are going to, two weeks ago, we did have a pop quiz. No, not two weeks ago. But guess what? We're going to have a pop quiz today. Isn't that wonderful?
Exquisite.
Now, I will set the foundation for the quiz. It's only going to be one question. There are three languages in which the Bible was written. I'm going to ask one at a time. And you just tell me one. Don't tell me all of them. But tell me a language that the Bible was written in. And if you want to go even further, you could tell me, was that the Old Testament or the New Testament? Y'all understand what I'm going to ask you. Is that correct?
No.
Yep. There are three languages that the Holy Bible was written in. And this is the scrolls. I'm not talking about the versions or the other translations or anything like that. I'm talking about the three original languages that the Word of God was written in. And there were three of them. Two were major. One was a little splinting, but it still was part of a couple of books in the Bible. So we're going to start at the end. And Sister Tiffany, can you give me the name of one language that the Bible was written in?
Hebrew.
Amen. And good. Now, you want to put an icing on the cake and get a plus on your A? And was that the Old Testament or New Testament?
Old Testament, sir.
I should got a plus. A plus. God bless you. Elder QB,
okay.
It's your
yes,
turn.
Sir.
There are two languages left that the Holy Bible was written into. One is an easy one to remember. One is a hard one to remember. I'm going to ask you to give the hard one.
I do believe it's Latin.
Okay, the original. We're talking about the original text, not the translations, because they were translations. Now, remember the New Testament was in one language, the Old Testament was in two languages. I'm giving a little hint here. So,
I don't understand the question, I believe.
Okay. Are we talking about the original text? The original text, not versions. Not the Latin version or the German or the English or the Swiss. A Swiss version, a Geneva. We're not talking about those other, the Bibles, the Geneva Bible, the Matthew's Bible, the Coverdale Bible, the Gutenberg Bible, the Great Bible, the King James Version. We're not talking about that. We're talking about the original text, the source document, the scrolls. There were three languages that the original of the Bible, the original Word of God, was written in.
English.
Greek.
Okay.
Oh, you said it wasn't Greek, yes, and it wasn't Latin.
You said Greek. And was that the Old Testament or New Testament?
New Testament.
Amen. All right, we got that. Now, Sister Angie.
Yes.
This probably gonna be a hard one for you because you missed a few days. But I'm gonna give you a chance for it. Because if you do get the answers in this one, you won't get one A. You'll get three A's in this course.
Wonderful.
Hey.
Wow. Amen.
Now, there's one other language that the original text was written in. And here's something else. If you don't get it, I won't penalize you. I might ask you another question, but because you haven't been here. But I'll give you a hint. The other language starts with an A.
Mm-hmm. I can't pronounce it. Can I say it?
Yes, you can.
A-R-A-M-A-I-C.
Hallelujah. Amen. She's
coming.
Three A's. Woo!
Go on, girl.
Now, for a plus on all those three A's you just got, glory to God. Is that the Old Testament or New Testament?
That was the New Testament.
Well, you didn't get the plus. It was the Old Testament. Hebrew and Aramaic was the Old Testament. Greek was the New Testament. But that's still, I have to, excuse me, Peach, can you help me get off the floor, please?
I'll help you. I help myself get up. Stop. We got to help each other. You go, Angie. Very good.
Okay.
That's wonderful, wonderful girl.
Thank you.
Okay.
And thank you.
All right. Well, what can I say? Okay.
God, the Lord.
So, Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. I think we had one more paragraph in the introduction. Is that correct, Pastor?
Yes.
Okay. Read that, and then I'm going to go over. We have two illustrations that we're going to go over just briefly, and then we're going to start reading the chapters. Okay, go ahead, Pastor Peaches, and you would start that for us.
The Jerusalem Chamber, the Westminster Company.
Okay, stop right there.
Hold on, where are you, Sister Peaches? I don't know where you are.
No, see, that means
okay,
fine. Yes, because I believe that that describes the Jerusalem Chamber. And it's really not significant, really. It deals with where people they met they got together. What is it? The 54 people got together and started to begin the process are working on the King James Version Bible. But we don't need to describe the room and the building, how tall it was, how many structures in it, because that's what that paragraph does. Thank you, Pastor Peters. I forgot that, and we're gonna skip over that part. Right. So right now we go, after the introduction, there are two, thank you, Pastor Peaches, again. There are two pages of illustrations. They have Bibles on it. Is that correct, Pastor Peaches?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Now, they're going to have a bunch of Bibles, and you can use this as a resource to look at, because a picture, they say a picture's worth a thousand words or something like that.
Uh-huh.
There are Bibles that we're going to be talking about through this course and through the remainder of this course and perhaps next semester. Okay, the Wycliffe Bible, you can kind of highlight that. If you see do you see that on the page, Pastor Peaches? A picture of a Bible, open Bible?
Yes, the first one is the Wycliffe.
Wycliffe, okay, highlight that. That's one of them. And what's the next one?
The Tyndale.
Tyndale Bible. Highlight that. And there's some information about it. Highlight that, y'all. Okay, go ahead.
The Coverdale.
Coverdale, highlight that.
And the next one is the Matthew Thomas's Bible.
Okay, Matthew Bible. Okay. Yeah, the Thomas Matthew Bible. That, yeah, yes, that, they call it Matthew Bible. That's important. Okay, go ahead, another one.
It says the Great Bible.
The Great Bible, okay.
The Geneva Bible.
Yes, okay.
The Bishop's Bible.
Yes, okay.
And the King James Bible.
Okay, yep. Well, there you go. Is that all of them?
Yes.
Yes.
All right. Let's go to the content. I just wanted to highlight that, and they give you a little bit of information that you can kind of glean at a glance. It's like they took notes for you. But anyway, let's go to the reading of this chapter. And it starts with John Wycliffe. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
Yes.
All right. Pastor Peter, can you read the first paragraph?
The Wycliffe Bible, John Wycliffe, 1320 to 1384, English patriarch, brilliant scholar, Bible preacher, wise writer, popular lecturer, and forerunner of the Reformation, fully earned the familiar epithet, Morning Star of the Reformation.
Can you stop right there? He was ordained a Catholic priest.
Oh.
So this is not just any old body. He was ordained a Catholic priest. Go ahead now.
Wycliffe lived when papal prestige was
papal,
at its
papal,
lowest.
As papal.
Papal prestige was at its lowest.
Okay, excuse me. Papal means the Pope. It deals with the Catholic Church. You hear the word papacy. That means that's the Pope and the Roman Catholic Church and all that kind of stuff. That's what the papal refers to, the Roman Catholic Church and the popes and that type of thing. Go ahead. Thank you.
An important influence on its views authority was the Babylonian captivity of the church, a time when the Pope, largely under the control of French kings, maintained their residence at Avignon,
it's French. Go ahead.
From 1309 to 1378, following this was the Great Schism, when for nearly 40 years, 1378 to 1414, there were two, sometimes three popes, some at
Avignon,
some at Rome, competing for recognition and power. End of paragraph.
At one time, there were three popes at the same time. It was all messed up. But one thing that John Wycliffe shared is that we ought to be reading the Bible in the language of the people, so we can understand that. And so we can understand the Word of God for ourselves. Because he found out that the papacy, the Pope, was misleading the people.
Yeah.
So that's why he was called the forerunner of the Reformation. Reformation is a reorganization of the church worldwide. It kind of started a little bit with him. It was really, there were some other people even before him, but he is the most notable. Any questions or comments about that chapter, that paragraph?
No.
No.
Again, that was in the 14th century now. This is the 1300s. Okay. Sister Andy, can you read the next paragraph, please? And when you get to the end, in the paragraph.
Okay. England herself was suffering great unrest, economic depression. Economic depression and widespread tension. The so-called Hundred Years' War, 1337-1453, between England and France was still flaring, and the French, P-A-P-A-C-Y, had done...
The French papacy, again, I mentioned that earlier, the papacy that referred to the Pope or the church, okay, the Roman Catholic Church. Go ahead.
Right. Yeah, and the French papacy had done little to enhance the authority of the church in the eyes of many loyal Englishmen, including John Wycliffe.
Wycliffe.
Yeah, Wycliffe.
Okay, end the paragraph.
No, that's not the end.
No, that's
not the end. The end
of
the
sentence.
Again, not only was that going on.
That wasn't the end of the paragraph.
She said end the paragraph. I heard her say that.
No.
Oh, you said it wasn't in the paragraph?
No.
So keep reading?
Yes, yes. If it wasn't in the paragraph, keep reading, yes.
My bad, sorry. Finding loyal and protection in John of the Gaunt, a son.
Hoff.
Oh, okay. John Gaunt, a son of King Edward III Wycliffe, A-D-V-O-C-A-T-E-D.
That's right.
That the super government should rid itself of the immoral, what's that, clergyman, was this the other word?
Occupying.
Occupying many of the great offices of state. End the paragraph.
Okay. What was going on? A lot of, you know, the Catholic priests weren't supposed to get married or anything, but they were having illicit affairs. Babies were being born to various folk, including the nuns, and all, there was a bunch of stuff going on. Not only that, but they were, glory to God, indulgences were going on where they charged people money to forgive them for sins. And or they had to do works in order to get forgiven for sins, or if they had a loved one that had died, they invented purgatory and said their loved ones went to purgatory. In order to get them out of purgatory and get to heaven, they had to pay some money. But see, people didn't know that wasn't true, and that wasn't in the Bible, because their Bible, they only spoke Latin, and only the very rich and intellectuals spoke Latin. The common man didn't speak Latin, so They had to accept what was told them, and what was told them was not right. Also, going on at the same time was the Black Death. This was the plague. It killed over one-third of the people in Europe at the time. And this is also a time where slavery in Europe started to happen because they needed people to do the work. So a lot of the slaves at this time started coming from Africa, were brought from Africa and from other places, not just black slaves, but white people were enslaved as well, indentured servants, because it was just not enough people to do what had to be done, and people were forced to work. So it was a whole lot of stuff going on at this time. Okay, any questions or comments?
Wow. It's just amazing to hear the history of how some things started and how they got that way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And under the name of church.
That's right.
Right.
Can you read the next paragraph? Someone had a question?
Yes, I do. It's a very, very interesting story. I like
it.
All right. It's stuff that happened. It's reality, and it is something. In fact, I think Elder QB, if you look in The Awakening of a Superhero, I do talk about that time of the Black Death and the Hundred Years' War in that book as well.
Oh, okay.
You can check that out. It's in that one. And also, I think it is also in the first one, The Secret Nightlife of a Superhero. So praise God. Okay, the next.
I have a comment. If we never go through this to find out the history of the trails that the Bible went through, or the road that it went through to bring us to where it is today, we'll never know it. You will imagine, okay, because when we look at the preacher preaching on Sunday morning, we know that this was a book, okay, this book has been around for many years, but you won't know what all it went through to bring us to be able to be on somebody's pulpit today. Just like when we sit down to a dinner table, and if there's a ham on the table, we just know that ham came from the store. I mean, we don't think our mind does not go back to, okay, a pig had to sacrifice for us to get it, and the pig, I mean, somebody had to kill the pig, had to raise the pig, feed the pig, raise it, slaughter it, and go to go to the market, go to the slaughterhouse, and then end up on our table. Our minds don't go like that. We don't think about those things. And the same way with the Bible, you know, we just like when we sit down at the table, we sit there at the table to enjoy what's there, what's put before us. And the Word of God, we don't know if we aren't told the lives that was lost and to bring this, you know, to keep this Word, to get this Word, to bring the Word to where it is today, we won't know it. People have actually lost their lives to bring the Word of God. So we would never know of the Wycliffe and the Geneva Bible and the Matthew's Bible and all that. We just know the King James Version Bible, and that's it.
Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things, and I'll share this with you, I myself don't actually want to go and look it up, but there's a book, Fox Book of Martyrs, and it talks about the martyrs from the 1st century through the 16th century. And this was a book of antiquity. This is a person who lived during the 16th century that wrote about the martyrs. And it's the leading, most exhausted work on martyrs, Christian martyrs, from the 1st century through the 16th century. It's called Fox's Book of Martyrs. It may be available in, of course, updated, of course, in the in the library. But anyway, it is amazing. Okay, we have another reading.
Can I say one thing? I was always wondered how the Catholic Church got so rich and how they had so much power. Now I understand it better, how they charged people, overcharged, and they made it law. And they did what they wanted to do behind covers, and they sort of made it legal
under
their umbrella.
And the people didn't know any better because they thought it was in the Bible. It wasn't in the Bible. And so they became very, very wealthy and they very rich, but there was all kinds of infighting. And like you said, at one point there were three popes at one time. And you'll find that in the history, we'll talk about there was a pope that was a woman. And the only she played herself as a man. The only time when they found out that she was a woman when she was a possessor and gave birth to a baby. They found out. That's the worst way to find out. Your pope is a woman. Anyway, that's another story, and that's another time. But anyway, go ahead and read the next paragraph if you would.
All right, are we at that time? Are we there?
With many of the nobility.
Oh, okay. With many of the mobility, ma'am. With many of the mobility already reading French Bibles, Wycliffe believes that if the common people had the Bible in their own language, they would demand a reformation of the church.
Reforming, that's what reformation means. Reforming. Wycliffe and a lot of them didn't want to start a new church. They just wanted to correct itself. But go ahead. Continue.
Right. The national honor of England seemed to demand purging, and only an English Bible could work such a purging. Although the Roman Catholic Church at a council held in Tosselus, France, in 1229, had forbidden the use of the Bible to laymen, Wycliffe stood forth as the chairman of an open Bible. Many of his Wycliffe stood forth as a champion of an open Bible. Many of his traveling preachers called Lollards.
Yeah, Lollards. And remember that because that's very important. Lollards. These were his disciples who went around barefooted taking his Bible that were written. And the thing about his Bible, the Bibles, this is before the printing press. It took 10 months to write. It took 10 months to write the entire Bible. And it cost £40. At that time, that was a whole lot of money. And £40 probably is about $100 in money today. I don't know. £40 then might be $5,000 at today's money, come to think about it. So, but these guys went around, these were his disciples, and they went around barefooted preaching and sharing and reading the Word of God in English. Go ahead.
Amen. Some, like Wycliffe, were Oxford scholars. These poor priests cried out against the corruption and laxity in the church. When the ministers of the apostate Roman Church failed to silence these Bible men. They use a tactic which has often worked. They falsely identified good men with
radicalism
and extremists. think. In the paragraph. I'm sorry.
Okay. This is how people, and they still do it today, they want to to obfuscate. Obfuscate means to confuse, make you know, things very mixed up and all that kind of stuff. They want to cloud the issue. They will accuse somebody of something that they weren't guilty of, but just to give them a bad name. Give you a perfect example. In about 500 B.C., a woman named Sappho wrote, like, as an oak tree falls to the ground, so love brightens my heart, or something of that sort. It was a fantastic quote, but the fact is she was a woman and a poet in a man's world. And to nullify the significance of what she says, they accuse her of being liking women, rather being a lesbian. So if you hear somebody say, she's a sapphic, she's a sapphic, they're referring to this a woman in the before BCE.
Power off.
Before Common Era, just to time to call up her contribution.
Silence her.
The number five, love rocks her heart, rocks her world. That's a good thing. The BCE, that was really great for that time. But likewise, John Wycliffe, truth, he lead the way, have the word in English so we can understand what the Spirit of the Lord says. But at the same time, there was so much upheaval going on in Europe. As I said, because of the Hundred Years' War, which affected all life, and people were dying, and because of the Black Plague, people were dying. I mean, the whole bunch of folks. The Black Plague killed one-third. Probably the war with France probably killed another fourth. I mean, they needed people. Stuff was going on. It was just an upheaval in Europe at the time. That was the 14th century going into the 15th century. So to kind of confuse the issue, they accused him of being a ringleader of people who tried to subvert the government and all that kind of stuff. Of course, he wasn't. But go ahead. Any questions or comments about what was read? Okay. Sister Tiffany, next paragraph.
Off mute, Tiff.
Hold on, guys. I'm here. At that time, many often under the leadership of self-seeking opportunities, were revolving against English civil laws and authorities. The most notorious of these uprisings was the Wat Tyler Rebellion of 1381.
Go ahead, yes. Go ahead.
Which resulted of Simon Sudbury. The Archbishop of Canterbury.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, Wycliffe had no more to do with these revolts than Martin Luther King had to do with the peasants' revolt in Wittenberg in 1524 through 1525. But it became convenient to Wycliffe's opponents to label such stirrings as Lalor uprising, charged with Hershey's and divide and driven from Oxford in 1382. Wycliffe withdrew to his parish of Lutterworth. By this time, however, the great
precursor
of the Reformation had already determined to give English a Bible. I mean, England, I'm sorry, a Bible.
End of paragraph.
Yep. All right, please God. And the word that y'all need to understand is heresy. That's what people were charged with. They disagreed with the Roman Catholic Church. They were charged with heresy, and they were most of them were burnt at the stake. That was the penalty for being judged a heretic.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Any questions about what was read? Any comments?
So it seems like if you came up against them, they labeled you real quick, got you out of the way.
Yeah, they held the council. There's like a court. They took you to court. See, the church was the court. The church was like the church in Jesus' day. They're the ones that condemned them to death, and they did the same thing. The problem, you know, a lot of people, we say, oh, the world. No, the church, the, quote, unquote, the church, not the Church of Christ, but the church that said they supported Christ or believed in Christ, which they really didn't. Pope Leo the X said, and I quote, "The fable of Christ was very profitable to me," unquote. In other words, even the Pope of the Roman Catholic Church felt that Christ wasn't real. It was just a fable, something that was said that was untrue. And that's the church that labeled people as heretics.
If you saw, if you came up against somebody and they had to burn you at the stake, that would put fear in others to keep their mouth shut.
Well, that's right.
It was sort of like Germany, where even people's families were turning against you, would accuse them of saying something. You had to be careful of what you said around certain people and what you did. That's how a whole bunch of folk got burned to the stake, because they were teaching their children the Lord. Now, who told somebody that they were teaching their children the Lord's Prayer? You understand what I'm saying? Somebody that could have heard them doing that. Somebody, okay, Pastor Peters, can you read the next paragraph quickly, please?
Because we ran out of time. I'm sorry. I
should take back out. Oh, we did. Well, they just said 10 seconds, so that's all right. Okay. I was trying to squeeze that in. Okay. Q&A. Any questions or comments right now?
Thank God I wasn't in back here in them time.
We've been long gone.
Same here. Oh, my gosh. Thank God for freedom of the word.
And here's the thing about it. Those times, were the good old days compared to the times of the Romans, where they anybody that named Christ, they were taken to the Colosseum, and they would set the lines on them.
Yeah, let the lines
tear
them up.
Mm-hmm. It was so morbid. The people would come to the Colosseum.
If you have a stomach, I'll be honest with you. Tears came to my eyes as I was listening to about the Bible in the 13th and 14th and 15th and 16th, what they were doing with to people. Can you imagine what would happen to me or to somebody if you're going to read Fox's book, Amartus? My goodness. You might have to have four or five towels to keep wiping up the tears of people. It's hard to visualize.
Yep. Yeah.
Dying for Christ's sake.
Yep.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Anyway, Portia.
Wow.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, God.
I want you to continue reading Wycliffe.
Okay.
Read the rest of this whole chapter. And we're going to have a test on this whole chapter about John Wycliffe 2 weeks from today. And that's going to be the last class 2 weeks from today. So there's going to be a test on that, okay?
All right.
And use your marker and, of course, your highlighter, I'm sorry. And you can look at the diagrams or the pictures of the Bibles, and you can glean some information. That's almost like notes for you. Glean some information. And read as far as you want to read, I'm going to tell you. You know, because this is good stuff. It's good stuff. And you will value your word even more. You carry your Bible a little snugger, secure with you. You know, you will value the word of God a little more.
Yes.
And when I share that every page of the King James Version was written in blood, I'm not speaking figuratively. I'm speaking literally. People died.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
For that.
Yep. Yeah.
And one other thing, again, I want to reiterate, and I've said this several times, but y'all need to understand this, that the Holy Bible was written for you to speak out loud.
Yeah.
It does something to the anointing, to the words, for you to speak it out loud. Because, see, everybody didn't have a scroll when the Bible was written.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they couldn't afford it. That's why people would go to the synagogue and someone would get a scroll and start reading it to the people so they can hear the word of God. So it could be spoken out loud. It was written to be spoken out loud. So when you speak it out loud, angels in heaven pay attention.
Thank
angels
you,
in the earth, God's angels.
Hallelujah. Thank
pay
you,
attention when you share God's word aloud. Things happen when you speak God's word aloud.
Yeah.
Do it.
Yeah.
Speak it out loud.
Thank
and as the words of a 20th century prophet said, speak
let
it out
do
loud
what it do.
And let it do what it do.
Mm-hmm.
How did you know I was going to say that? Because she knows her husband. I think we're intimate. She knows her husband. Let it do what it do. Speak it out loud, y'all. Tiffany. Speak it out loud.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Elder QB, speak it out loud. Andy,
amen.
Speak it out loud.
Amen.
And let it do what it do. That might
amen.
Be a title of a message. Let it do what it do. Speak it out
amen.
Loud.
Let it do. Yeah.
Glory to God. God bless you all. Father God, in the name of Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for the classes on today. We thank you, Lord, that our hearts were touched by your word. Our hearts were touched by the conversation and the comments and the questions. Lord, we just thank you for your Holy Spirit that just revealing yourself to us, making things understandable, breaking it down to earth just where we live. So we praise, we magnify, we glorify your name. Thank you, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, for blessing every student, oh God, even Sister AJ, oh God, Deacon AJ, wherever she is, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we send the word of God to heal. Psalms 107, verse 20, right now in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, that your word declares in hallelujah. 3 John 1 and 2, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prosper. Hallelujah. We thank you, God, for your word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to sharper than a two-edged sword. Hallelujah. We thank you, God. And, Lord, as we go out through the rest of this evening and even on tomorrow and the rest of the week, Lord, just be with us, oh, God. We thank you, Lord, for the miracles that shall take place in our lives. We thank you, Lord, for being the miracle. We thank you, Lord, for being the blessing. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We praise your name. We glorify your name in Jesus' name. And everyone said,
amen.
Amen. God bless you. I want to let y'all know that God loves you. We love you too. Nothing you can do about it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Have a blessed day. Hallelujah.
You too.
Amen. Love you more.
Love you more.
All right, now. Bye-bye.
Oh, yeah.